Good morning and welcome to Bethany's Drive-In Worship Service on this beautiful and foggy Sunday morning. Now, whether you're here in our church parking lot or viewing our service on your electronic device, we welcome you, and we're glad that you're taking time to worship with us. And I can tell you, even though it's foggy today, and it's foggy right now, by the end of this service, it will be crystal clear who we should make as the center of our lives. I've got one for you this morning, a scripture verse from a book in the Bible that we rarely reference in our worship service. And it's from Zephaniah. How about that? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. What comfort, what joy, and what encouragement these words give us as we live in today's crazy world. Think about that. We come to our Father in heaven who delights in calling us his children, and who will rejoice over us with singing. He is greater, he is stronger, he is higher, and he's more powerful than any other. He is with us through our trials, through our problems, afflictions, our misfortunes, and even when we feel he is distant from us. For if God is with us, who can stand against us? Please join us in singing our first song, Our God.
Stand against. God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our
Let's hear those horns for our Lord this morning. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Just a reminder now that if you have a prayer request or a praise, we ask that you text 540-495-0501, and Pastor Susan will include your request in our morning prayer. That's 540-495-0501. Let's welcome our Heavenly Father to our service this morning. Lord God, as we join together in worship, we acknowledge your name above every other name. You are the source of all true and lasting joy. We praise you for your power, which is beyond compare. We worship you for your wisdom, which is beyond understanding. We are grateful that you continue to meet all our needs, even in these challenging and uncertain days in which we live. We praise you for being a God who is approachable, who is with us through it all, and who delights in our dependence on you. Fill our hearts with your Spirit as we respond to your word, and thank you for being our good, good Father. Amen.
To I am, to I am, to I am.
It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Thank you. Great job. For our children's moments this morning, we have Julie Ritchie.
Well, good morning. I don't know how I got here this morning. I don't know about you. At first, I thought I was in a dream. But then I realized I had never fallen asleep. And something weird had happened yesterday, and I want to tell you about it. Is that okay? All right. Well, yesterday was a tough day. I woke up a little late because the baby had been crying all night. And then my mother-in-law fell and I needed to go help her. So I was late getting to the market to go to find a job. Showed up a little bit after lunch. Sat around, because that's what you do. No newspaper to advertise, you know, to look for job hunting. Sat around, you wait for an employer to come. And finally, right about 5 o'clock, a guy comes up and says, "Hey, you want to work in my vineyard?" And I was like, "Well, sure. Anything's better than nothing, right?" So I went with him to the vineyard and literally had not been working more than 15 minutes when the bell rang and it was time to go home. I guess there was no night shift. It gets kind of dark, so you can't pick grapes. So they called me up to get paid, and I figured, well, you know, a little better than a lot, right? I mean, it's better than nothing. And I went up and he gave me the full day's wage. He paid me like I had been working all day long. And I was so grateful that he was able to do that, that he did that for me. So I started walking off and I was just, you know, amazed at that gift. And I heard some commotion behind me, and so I kind of hid in a bush to see what was going on. And the other workers who had been there longer than me were getting paid, and they were all getting paid the same amount that I had gotten, and they were a little frustrated. They'd been out in the hot sun working all day long, and they got the same amount that I got, and they were upset about it. Well, they approached the landowner and they said, "What's the deal? You know, she got paid one denarius and we worked all day and got one denarius." And the owner said, "Look, you agreed to one denarius. That's what I'm paying you. I'm paying you what I agreed to. Because I'm feeling generous, I gave everybody one denarius." Well, that made me realize that how precious that gift was, and I scooted out from under the bush, and I, next thing I know, I'm standing here. And what I want to share with you is that you need to take this generosity and appreciate it as the gift is given to you. It's a special gift, and even though I've only had it for a little bit, I treasure it. And I'm a little sad that the folks that had more invested ended up not looking at it as the gift that it truly was. So please recognize this gift of grace and salvation as it truly is. A gift given to all of us, regardless of how much time and effort we've put into it, it doesn't matter. We all get the gift. Go forth and share this gift with others. Spread it, be generous in every way you can. With your time, with your compassion, with your empathy. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. Our scripture comes from Matthew 20, verse 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for his usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And then he said to them, "You also go in the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And when he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go to the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." And then those hired about 5 o'clock came. Each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would have received more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have been borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am only doing you no wrong, but did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give the last the same as I give to you. I'm not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me. But are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first and the first will be last." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. That was Lucy Huffer who brought us our scripture this morning, and she did an excellent job. Let us pray. Lord, we have heard the scripture read this morning, and as we consider the laborers in the vineyard, maybe there's that little voice in the back of our head saying, "That's not fair. Some people work longer than other people." But Lord, help us to see what your economy is like, what your gifts are like. Lord, help us to see how it is you inspire us to work in the world. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Well, several weeks ago, I went into my parents' home. We're trying to clean out things and get it ready to be sold. And so I was in my old bedroom, which my husband used to tease me that it looked like a shrine to when I graduated from high school. But anyway, I was going through, and I must have kept every pay stub I had from the time I worked at JCPenney's while I was in college. And looking through them, I saw that when I was hired, I was working for $3.25 an hour, which was that was minimum wage. And I was thankful to have a minimum wage job at JCPenney, because before that I had worked at 7-Eleven, and I could tell you some stories. But anyway, I was thankful. And, you know, so back in the day, minimum wage, that was, you know, by the time I left, I was making $3.65, so big strides forward. Now, according to Google, which seems to be the authority on many matters, the average pay of a garbage collector is about $16 an hour. The average pay of a cardiologist is $454,000 a year. An aerospace engineer, on average, gets paid $104,000 a year. A firefighter, $54,000. The average pay of a child care worker is just over $11 an hour. The average pay of an NFL athlete is just over, is around $1.9 million a year. Now, and depending on whose website you're looking at, the average salary for a pastor is either $34,000 a year, $53,000 a year, or $111,000 a year. I think Joel Osteen probably makes that last one go up higher. And one of the lowest paid jobs out there is fast food worker at an average salary of $22,000 a year, or about $10.50 an hour. So pay discrepancy can be a touchy subject. You know, experience, skill, education are all factors. If you look at the statistics, gender and race seem to have an effect. And a person doesn't really need to be a preacher in order to realize why there was some grumbling when the people were being paid out in our parable this morning. Anybody who's worked for an hourly wage can figure it out. There seems to be obvious inequity in this parable. And, you know, you don't expect that someone who has worked just 1 hour to be paid the same as the one who worked all day, worked in the hot sun. It just doesn't seem fair. And when I read this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded of a particular street corner I used to drive by when we lived in Roanoke, and I was serving a church in Bedford County. And on this street corner in Vinton, Virginia, I would see workers gathered there. Workers gathered there, and a pickup truck or two might pull up and pick up some of those folks. They were day laborers, and they were hoping to be picked up by contractors or construction supervisors or landscapers. And, you know, the size of the crowd varied from day to day and sometimes from hour to hour. And I would wonder about how hard it would be to stand there not getting picked. These laborers weren't lazy. They were out there day after day, standing there, looking for work, waiting, hoping to be picked. And they just wanted what all of us want, meaningful work and a way to help provide for those whom they love. And what would they think of this story? What would they think of the one still waiting to be picked at 5 o'clock in the evening? You have to admire their persistence for still standing out there. Well, many scholars see this parable as a description of the Gentile Christians who are brought into the faith late in the game. You know, there are Hebrew Christians who have been faithfully living their lives since the beginning, and now these Gentile Christians come in and they are to be accepted equally. And we really get to the heart of the matter. Are you envious because I am generous? We read in verse 15 of the scripture. But if you were to go back and look at the King James version of this, it would say something like, is your eye evil because I am good? And that's a much closer translation to what's actually there. Or in other words, are you giving me the stink eye because I treated these others well? This is really not about fairness at all. No one was cheated. The owner apparently just felt very generous, and as the day progressed, it demonstrates the goodness of God. Now, I know the first time I read this parable, my sympathy was definitely with the people who worked all day and were expecting to get a little more once they heard what the people who'd been working for an hour or less made. And we tend to see the inequity in the story. We tend to see a kind of, well, a little bit of wealth redistribution here. It just doesn't make sense that someone working an hour or less would get the same as someone who'd worked all day long. It just isn't fair. Yet the logic is pure, and Jesus calls us out on it. It's my vineyard, my money. I'm not paying anyone less than what I agreed to. You see evil, and I am doing good. And so we tend, I think, sometimes to see evil. Do we have an eye for evil when God is good? And in this season, it's hard for many of us to see the good, to let alone see God as good. My husband recently bought a T-shirt with a picture of a trash dumpster on it, and flames are shooting out of the dumpster. And on the side of the dumpster is printed 2020. Now, he must not be the only person who feels like this about this year, because I saw at least 10 different versions of this shirt. And some had blue dumpsters, some had green dumpsters, some had realistic flames coming out of it, some dumpsters had a face on it. So, yeah, it's been a rough year. And sometimes it's hard to see the good in the midst of this pandemic with mask wearing and Zoom meetings and social distancing. It might be especially hard to see the good. Parents are juggling work and distance learning for their kids and trying to keep all that together. And it's hard. It's really hard. And it's hard to see the good in all this. People are facing loneliness and isolation, and they are having a hard time seeing the good. People have had to cancel weddings and travel plans and all other kinds of things, and they may have lost sight of the good. Well, God is complicated. It's complicated when trouble seems to be everywhere, and there seems to be plenty of evil in the world. There's systemic racism and environmental destruction and mindless consumption and poverty and hunger and war and crime, and that's not even counting hurricanes and tornadoes and droughts and earthquakes, fires, and a warming earth. But we are also hardwired for an eye for evil. We are programmed to pick up clues about danger, even seeking out information about when bad things happen. It was a key to the survival for early humans. You can imagine ancient humans sitting around the fire in the evening, sharing stories. And if they heard a story about someone being trampled by wildebeest, well, everyone paid attention and after that stayed alert when they heard the sound of hoofbeats. We have an eye and an ear for evil, but that doesn't change the fact that God is good. And this parable is a reminder that we should be on the lookout for good things too. Instead of focusing on what we see as the injustice of those who worked harder and earned the same as those who did less, we are asked to focus on God's generosity. In the parable, they were keeping score. We do that, right? We keep score. But love doesn't keep store. At the end of the day, which comes literally in this story, at the end of the day, they resent everyone who was treated well by the landowner, treated equally. And equality sounds good in theory, but in application, it can sting a little. The implications are at times unsettling, that the newest convert to the church has just as much voice and agency as the one who's been a member for 80 years, or that the one who has a deathbed conversion is just as loved as the one who's been a lifelong saint. But this is not a story of fairness. It's a story of goodness. And it's the story of God's goodness. Robert Farrar Capon, in his book, Kingdom Grace, Judgment, Paradox, Outrage, and Vindication in the Parables of Jesus, writes, "Bookkeeping is the only punishable offense in the kingdom of heaven. For in that happy state, the books are ignored forever, and there is only the book of life." And I relate to that with a certain amount of chagrin, because during my previous career when I worked at the bank, it was all about keeping the books. It was all about balancing the credits against the debits. Everything was supposed to even out at the end of the day. That was the goal. And if it didn't even out, then maybe you didn't go home. What was subtracted needed to be balanced by what was put back in, always. But in God's book of life, nothing stands against you. There are no debit entries. There's nothing that can keep you out of the clutches of the love that will not let you go. No negative balance in your account will keep you from receiving grace or cancel your credit with a loving God. The only auditor before whom you must finally stand is the Lamb of God, and he will cancel all your debts if you let him. It's not about fairness. It is about goodness. And so, as we think about the first and the last being first and the first being last, just remember that everybody gets a full measure because God is good, because God is generous. And what matters in life is that we accept the goodness of God, we accept the grace of God, and we come together to share that with one another. God is good. It's not calculated or weighed. The love of God's is immeasurable. God is good to the faithful and the faithless, to the shift worker and the salaried. God is good not because we deserve it, but because God is generous in including us. God is good because God shows up and settles up, and it is not always what we expect, but it is more than we can understand. It is not what we expect, but it is what God gives us, because, and foremost, God is good. Amen. I love the cowbell. I love that. Thank you for all the generosity that that you folks have shown. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for all who give of themselves to the world. We give you thanks for all of those who give of themselves to the church. Lord, continue to keep us together, a community that is filled with love through your goodness, so that we might share it with the world. Amen. Well, I have a few announcements. My glasses are so fogged up they got beads of water on them. So the big announcement, sadly we had to cancel our get-together in the parking lot because it was pouring down rain on Friday. But we are having communion next Sunday, so that's exciting. And I invite folks who are watching online, who are viewing the service on video or through Facebook, to have some, bread or crackers and some juice or water with them so that they can partake with us. And when you come for the service on Sunday, as you go by what I think of as Jeff's table, he'll put some prepackaged communion elements into the basket, and you'll take those, and when the time comes, you can take the elements during the service. And if you're outside, you are allowed to remove your mask in order to do that, in order to eat the bread and drink the juice, and then put it back on. So we haven't had communion for, since March, and it's been much too long. So I'm excited. I hope you're excited, too. Cindy will be back in the office this week. Just keep praying for the church. And I don't have pockets in my pants. So I don't have my phone. My phone is over there. But I do know that we want to be in, we have a few folks we need to be in prayer for. We want to be in prayer for Tom Gordon, who was having some issues and some pain this week. And then next week he's supposed to go and have a shoulder replacement surgery. So pray for him. Yes. Oh, thank you. Look, thank you, Marguerite. And oh, and we do have, all right, and we do have a prayer request. Ask for prayers for patience with ourselves and patience with God's plan for us. That, yeah, definitely want to pray for patience in the midst of all of this, and to figure out where God is leading us in the midst of this. Also want to be in prayer for Lloyd Meadows, who's having some health issues, serious health issues, and want to pray for Brian Meskow, a friend of Dale's, who had open heart surgery this week. He's recovering from a triple bypass. So I want to keep Brian in our prayers as well. Let us go to God in prayer. Gracious God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the beauty of your earth and all creation. It is a marvel. It is a wonder. It is amazing. So, Lord, help us stop once in a while and admire all that you've done. Gracious God, you know that there are times when we don't see the good around us. We get focused on all the bad stuff. But, Lord, forgive us. Wipe us clean. We know you give us a second chance because you are the God of second chances. Lord, give us patience as it seems that all around us is in flux, up in the air. But give us patience to deal with one another and all that life is throwing at us. We pray for our teachers and their students, big and small. We pray for those who are dealing with COVID. We ask that you bring healing to them. Lord, you know what's in our hearts, whether we can say it out loud or not. So, Lord, release us from what binds us. Strengthen us for what we need to do. Heal those who are in need of healing. Ease their pain, whether it is in the body or in the spirit. Lord, continue to keep us in love with God and help those who have lost loved ones to feel the power of the resurrection that it has for those that we love and even in our own lives, that power to bring new life in broken areas. Gracious God, all of this we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. 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 All right.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Susan. Let's conclude our service today with a really great old hymn called Standing on the Promises. Please join us.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing on the promises, standing on the promises.
Remember that promise. Remember that God is good and grace is abundant, and let us share it with one another. Amen.